So I ended up buying a couple of properties in New Delhi. New Delhi, the real estate is very, very expensive. So buying a land is very, very hard. So I bought two apartments off the plan in a span of about 3 to 4 years. And now they have really given me good results. It was a very wise decision, I would say.
You're listening to Property Investor Tales, stories from the front yard. Here's your host, Tabitha Bright.
Hello and welcome to Property Investor Tales, stories from the front yard, where I get to speak to property investors from around Australia about their investing journey. My name's Tabitha Bright and I'm the head of coaching here at Positive Real Estate, where we help people build wealth through property. With over 8,000 clients across Australia and New Zealand, there are some incredible stories to tell, which hopefully make your investing journey that little bit easier and will inspire you along the way. My guest today is Dhiraj Chhabra. And Dhiraj has invested all around the globe, from Scotland to New Zealand to India, and now here in Australia. He's recently joined our coaching team to share some of his expertise from mortgage broking and working in finance and, of course, investing. So please enjoy this conversation with the multi-talented Dhiraj. Alrighty, so welcome to today's podcast, episode number 72. And the podcast, of course, is Property Investor Tales, Stories from the Front Yard. I'm your host today, Tabitha Bright, head of the coaching team here at Positive Real Estate. And we're super lucky today to have with us Dhiraj. Now, Dhiraj Chhabra, I've said your name correctly. I want to check that's right.
No, that's perfect.
Oh, I think you might be being very kind, but it is important to me I get that right. And Dhiraj has recently joined our coaching team. We have coaches that have experience from all walks of life, from all areas of investing. And I'm going to do a quick preamble here because I want you to understand how lucky we are to have Dhiraj, because Dhiraj has grown up in India. He's going to tell us a little bit about this in a second. He started investing when he was 22 years old and bought two investment properties immediately. He's then traveled all around the world. He's lived in Scotland. He's lived in New Zealand. And is now residing here in Australia. He's got a mortgage broking background. He's worked for some of the biggest companies globally. So we're super lucky to have his expertise. And he's invested for quite a number of years. I won't age you by saying exactly how many, but you may choose to share that. So welcome to today's podcast, Dhiraj. We're really stoked to have you here and on the team.
Thank you, Tabitha. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
So are we. So we'll get straight into it. Tell me a little bit about your background. I gave it a little bit of a snapshot there, but there's more detail. So tell us about where you grew up and what started you investing.
So as you told before, that I grew up in India. And after I finished my graduation in hospitality, I worked with some of the good brands at management positions like Radisson and Hyatt. And that was my profession, being a hotelier for about 15 years. And I also have worked in the US, as you mentioned, with Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines. And that's where my investing journey started, because I was working for long hours and I was making good money, but I had no time to spend. So that left me with good savings. And that was a very viable thing to do, to come back home and invest into a property, which could be my forever home. That was the initial intent. So I ended up buying a couple of properties in New Delhi. New Delhi, the real estate is very, very expensive. So buying a land is very, very hard. So I bought two apartments off the plan in a span of about 3 to 4 years. And now they have really given me good results. It was a very wise decision, I would say. Yeah. How it happened, my first one, I don't know really what came into me, but thank God it came to me and I just did it. And that sort of gave me an insight that this is something I want to do as part of my career building as I go.
Right.
And since then, I had a couple of more properties in New Zealand, been in the industry, being a hotelier for about 15 years, then moved to finance, worked with ANZ as a lending specialist. Then I moved to being a mortgage broker for about 4 to 5 years, and that's where really I enjoyed. That was the pinnacle of my career before I joined positive real estate. Maybe another one. And I really enjoyed helping my clients achieve their dreams by buying their first homes and investment property. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So I'm going to go back a bit there because there was a lot of information there for our clients. And so tell me, to start with, your initial job where you saved all that money, that was, you were working on cruise ships, weren't you? So you were on a cruise ship. You'd often be away, I think you were saying, for 6 months at a time.
Yeah.
And so, and you worked every single day. There wasn't like you got days off. It was six months.
6 months, no days off. You're only not working if you're sick.
That's wow. Okay.
And usually a shift will be about 14 to 15 hours a day. Hard work.
Wow, yeah. That's massive. So clearly one for young people. I don't know if I'd cope with, I don't know if I'd cope with that. But it did mean that you could save your money because I guess on a cruise ship, your accommodation is covered, your
food is paid off. Yeah. You know, if you are into drinking, the booze is very cheap as well, just for the context. Right.
But it'll be wasted on me. I don't drink at all, but that's just a personal choice of mine, mainly because I hate hangovers and it gets in the way of my running, which I'm passionate about. But certainly in my younger days, I may have imbibed a little bit. All right. So you were able to save that big deposit. And it sounds like you went back to New Delhi and just went, stuff it. I need to buy something. This looks good. I'm going to give it a go. Is that kind of what happened?
More like yes. And Delhi was my obvious choice because the way I planned it, after maybe working for a few years, I'll come back to New Delhi and continue with my career working in the hotels there. Because working in a cruise ship was like an interim thing. I can't be doing it for a lifetime because you're away from family. A lot of hard work, but you know, it's mainly you're away. It can't take your family long. So that time I got introduced by a friend, this opportunity coming through as an off plan. And it was a huge, very big development coming in a certain part of Delhi, and which at that time wasn't very favorite for a lot of people, the way it was projected, but it became as one of the very sought after suburb now in New Delhi. And that's the reason I, you know, gained in a lot of equity as well, which is the price.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And as far as the apartment goes, like, obviously, you've held it for quite a number of years. Yeah. And over that time, it's cash flow positive. It's gained some equity. And you had two in the same area, didn't you?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Not okay. Really far away.
Yeah. Fantastic. And
that development is all about apartments. So it's only apartments there. Yeah.
Got it. And when you and I were talking, you were explaining the New Delhi market because I'm not familiar with the market there. And we were talking about the real estate market in India and how New Delhi is really expensive. Like it's on par, isn't it? And Mumbai with New York and London and more expensive. Yeah.
Just to let you know for the context, that Mumbai is the most expensive real estate in the world.
That is nuts.
A lot of people don't know that. Yeah.
That's nuts. Yeah. And where does New Delhi sit in that?
It's like in terms of nationally, it's about second after Mumbai.
Yeah.
But I think New Delhi on a global context, I think it's about first top 10, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. So a competitive real estate market, you've had good capital growth, you've gotten nice and early into a developing neighborhood. So the lesson here is around gentrification and whether you did it deliberately or not, you took some action and you're buying in a major capital city. So there would be, there'd always be demand for good quality real estate. And if you were buying something that was potentially going to be your future home, this is one of the key lessons that we have around whether you're buying apartments, townhouses, off the plan, you know, houses, house and land, whatever it is, buy the best that you can afford to buy at the time and make sure that it appeals to owner occupiers. Because owner occupiers are as a general rule, emotionally attached to what they're buying. So they will stretch and expand to buy the best that they can afford to buy in the market. Whereas if you're buying investor quality real estate that is only going to appeal to investors, then when an investor buys off you, they try and chip it down. They try to get the best price possible. They're not going to stretch to, you know, to have this heart-based decision on buying the best property. So if there's one thing we can take away from this, is that buy for owner occupation.
Yep.
Because if your target market is that, the chance of you getting long-term good capital growth is far higher than if you're buying just investor stock. So good job. So you did well out of that. And then to cut it short a tiny bit, because you've done a lot of travel globally, yeah, and you went back and forth between New Delhi and lots of countries. Tell me, once you'd done all of that, you got married and you migrated to Scotland. To the UK, which just seems to me like such a random choice and so different to what I imagine. I haven't been to India, but what I imagine India is like. So tell me a little bit about that.
Again, it was all about my passion to travel and see different countries and feel the experience by living there. You know, sometimes you just travel as a tourist is a different thing, but if you want to really experience a country and people, you had to live there. And that brought me to move to the UK at the time. I landed with a job while I was still working in India. So it was a great experience to, you know, learn from a different perspective, culture again. So Scotland was amazing. You know, didn't mind the weather though. I mean, obviously, you know, it was a bit cold there coming from the But I really have that really enjoyed that experience again, meeting new people, new culture. I was there for about 4 or 5 years and worked in a good companies at a senior level positions in hotels.
Which is fantastic. And I think, like I myself have done various roles across a lot of industries. I've been in the graphic design and advertising industry. I've worked for the Historic Places Trust. I've been a tour guide. I've been in banking. I was a teller. You said you didn't want to be a teller, neither did I, but I had to be. I got put through the, you know, the thing where you go around and you have to do the every single role. So I was teller, I was head teller. And we were forced to stay on that station until we balanced every night. Like we had to get that right. And it was drilled into us. It was really good. It was a really good lesson about understanding at a very young age, debits and credits and just how the banking system operated. I'm so glad I did that. But I think the thing that I find is people that have had varied roles have traveled a lot, have taken themselves out of comfort zones, are often very good at dealing with people and working with people, because there's not much that I imagine on your cruise ships and in your time with hospitality and banking and mortgage broking that you have not come across pretty much every situation that I could imagine.
I could believe so, yeah.
People everywhere, right?
Yeah. And when you meet different people, they touch your life in a very different way. It could be maybe just for a little moment or for a long time. You know, your clients, your people who are coming to your hotel will be there for just maybe a day or so, but they can have a long lasting effect on your personality, how you see things. So that interaction really changed me as a person over the time. You know, being hospitality, it's drilled into me. So, you know, you have to be nice to your clients and customer. But that's my second nature anyway. So I really did well and correlated myself into that profession. And that's the reason I had a very good run as a successful hotelier, you know. So definitely meeting different people, culture, learning from them was an amazing experience. I'm still learning, you know. Yeah.
And I know it might sound a little bit chocolate box, but I think it is true. Like what you said about how sometimes you can meet a person and they might only be staying at the hotel for a day or whatever, but you know, they can have a profound impact. And we underestimate kindness, don't we? We underestimate how somebody can say something to you and you carry it for a long time. The most random compliment or the most random kind gesture can mean so much to people, and you just don't realize how much.
And I have so many experiences where I remember those interactions with my clients, with my customers, with my guests, and I still remember those times when I could help them change, do something small in their life but was big for them.
Yeah.
The compliments you get from them was good. Always motivate you to do even better in the future. Yeah,
100%. And I think it's part of, like, a lot of our team have been with Positive Real Estate for a really long time. Like, I've done 16 years with Positive Real Estate. I've got team that have been with me 10 years, 7 years, 8 years. And I think it is that thing where the role can be so varied as a coach at Positive Real Estate. Everyone brings their own skill set. And obviously you've got your mortgage broking and finance background, which is awesome. But I'm also really thrilled that you have had that background in a service and hospitality arena as well, because, our clients are with us for a lifetime. And I know one of our other coaches had also had a retail and service background, and she did really well. And I think it's that thing about coming from a place of serving and making sure that clients are looked after. Coaching is an interesting one, because I remember I was getting training on coaching. I went and paid separately to get some coaching on becoming a coach. The person that was coaching me, Scott, he said to me, "Tab, the importance of having a coach is not to tell people always what they want to hear, but it's to actually provide feedback in the moment that is real, because so many people don't have somebody that will actually tell them what they need to know and what they need to hear. Most of us are so worried about offending or being nice that," and it's not that you don't say it in a mean way, but it's that thing. And that's why I think coaching is so valuable, and why we offer this lifetime program, right? Because then it enables us to see a client go from the beginning to along their journey. I mean, not the end, but along their journey to see what results unfold for them, and who they become is really exciting. Because you've dealt with some challenging stuff. So tell us about your property in Scotland, because what did you buy that for?
So when I was living in Scotland, and it was again an obvious choice to buy my own house to live in, I don't like paying rent, because that's the way I am. So I bought my first home in the notion that, I will be building a life and living in Scotland for many years. And that was a right and a wise decision at the time as well. But as things go, life changes, nothing is permanent. In 2009, I decided to move back to India permanently. So at that time, I had no idea what to do with my house. I still had mortgage on it. It had gained some of equity. I was sort of lost at the time that, maybe the only choice I have is to sell it. I was lucky enough that I could sell it with a little bit profit. But if I had known and had the knowledge and the support and guidance of a coach, I can say, I would have definitely retained that property. It would have been, all paid off by now, maybe valued at around $600,000-$700,000, which I don't have right now. But like I say, it's always no mistakes, lesson learned, So that was definitely a very valuable lesson learned from myself.
Right. And just because I like to really highlight lessons, I'm going to just delve into that pain a little bit. Sorry. So you bought it for how much?
I bought it for $180,000.
Okay.
Sold it for just over $200,000 after the cost and everything. So I pocketed about £20,000.
£20,000.
Relocate back to India. But today, that is nothing. as compared to the whole value of the property would have been around 700,000 Australian dollars. So, you know,
okay,
I could
so
have
maybe 400,000, 500,000.
Yeah, I could have just, my portfolio would have totally looked different what I look today. Yeah.
Ah, it does hurt.
But like I said, I don't want my clients to do the same thing. So, you know, that's the reason I really emphasize on right support, right guidance at right time. You know,
It's very true. And you'll always hear Jason Whitten, who's our founder, for those of you that aren't familiar with Jason. He always has that thing at the end of every mentoring workshop that we do for clients. He always says, buy well, never sell.
Yep.
And that's not entirely true. And sometimes he reframes it and he says, buy well, never sell unless selling strategically. Because sometimes our portfolio might require us to sell something. But if I had literally a dollar for every time a client said to me, I bought this property and back in, 1990 or whenever they did, and I sold it and I made $100,000 and I thought it was the bee's knees, and today that property would be worth, whatever. Everyone says, geez, I wish I never sold. I've got my own stories around that as well, where, I'd probably have an additional $1 million in the bank if I hadn't sold one property. And it hurts, right? But there wasn't always guidance around, and there wasn't always somebody I could ask.
And because previously when I was a mortgage broker, I had so many clients come to me and they have very similar experiences. So listening to them again breaks my heart, but I can relate back to my own experience. Sometimes we take a decision at that time seems to be the best decision because we don't know the nitty-gritty of it. Maybe we think that's the right decision, but that's the reason when an expert like us, we can come in the picture and guide you from a broader perspective,
And it's interesting with the coaching, we would never say to a client, you have to sell. What we say to clients is we demonstrate for them the upside and the trade-off of every decision they make. So whether you're buying a new property, whether you're looking at selling something, we'll talk you through your position and where we see the market going, what's happening. Like sometimes people want to sell because interest rates have gone up and they're scared or they're fearful about what that means. Then it's about education. Well, where are they likely to go? What buffer have you got? Where is the market headed? Can you get your rents up? Can you negotiate the bank to get your rates down? So, it's a good conversation where Diraj and I work hard to make sure that clients will understand what their options are, and then they make the best decision for them that they can. If I'm really concerned a client's making a poor decision and they're selling something or buying something that really is going to cause potential challenges, absolutely, I'll put it in writing and I'll say, listen, I strongly recommend against this. However, that's very rare for that to happen. And so tell me, so you then moved from Scotland back to India for a bit?
For a bit, probably about 6 months, and then moved to New Zealand in 2010.
New Zealand, yay. I'm a Kiwi, love New Zealand. Love Australia, been living here for a long time, but very, very much in love with my home. And you're from, you migrated to my hometown, so you're from Wellington.
Wellington.
Oh, windy old Wellington, yes. Wonderful Wellington, we'll call it. Wellywood, I think they call themselves, don't they? Because of Peter Jackson and all the Hollywood stuff. Tell me a bit about that. How long were you in New Zealand and what did you do there? Did you buy more property?
I did. So I was there for about 12 years. Again, started my career back in hospitality.
Yep.
And then transitioned to working for ANZ, like I said, as a mortgage specialist and then being a broker. Yes. And at the time, I did buy my own owner-occupied house to live in, which I lived in for about 8 years.
Yes.
And I also bought a second property as an investment using the equity from that.
Very
and
good.
Still have those two properties. Now they're both rented. Yeah.
So you've still got those?
Yeah, I've still got those, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Where did you buy your investment in Wellington? I'm just
so in Wellington, in Lower Hutt.
Lower Hutt. Oh, so they're both in Lower Hutt. Okay, beautiful.
And one, the second one is in Whanganui, so it's not in the Wellington region, because at that time when I was looking to buy, Wellington region didn't seem to be right in the terms of amount of investment I made. So Whanganui made a good choice because that town has been showing a lot of growth. I did my numbers, did my research. There's a lot of investment going into it. And that seemed to be a good choice and have worked out well for me as well. Yeah, in terms of growth.
It's awesome. It's got a beautiful river up that way.
Yeah, it
is. Very famous and some good universities and lots going for it. It's quite an... it's got a community that really is... supportive of the arts as well. It's a very creative community. Yeah, it's a fabulous community. If I couldn't live in Wellington, bearing that it's cold and I don't know if I could go back because it's so cold, Whanganui would be a fabulous place to be.
Yeah. Not very far away from the main cities, you know, very well connected.
Yeah, a little bit more of that community feel. Okay, so that's fabulous. So as you've traveled around the globe, you've kind of collected some properties as well along the way. So you're an international investor. I know that appeals to a few people.
Yes, definitely so. And I really want to add something probably I should have done before with my properties in New Delhi. Now, the both properties, one is a long-term rental, one is run as an Airbnb. And now the both are making enough income so to sustain themselves and their expenses. And the best part is they have make me a surplus. So whenever I go to India, I don't take any cash from here. My holiday is paid off.
A fabulous strategy.
It's not all about owning the piece of land or a building or a real estate. It's about the change it can have in your life. So my holiday is paid off. You know?
Yeah, great. I love it. And I think sometimes what people get frustrated about is they buy a bit of real estate and they want it to deliver that immediately, but it doesn't always. And sometimes you just have to leave it and let it do its thing, because RP Data CoreLogic had a really interesting statistic I saw, and it was that most people that sell in a 6 to 7 year time frame in Australia, this is only Australia, often make a loss. And people that obviously hold property, you show me somebody that's held property 20 years and more that doesn't like that property. Like, no matter what, like all property I've held for 20 years plus, I love. Yeah. I absolutely love, because it's cash flow positive. I've hardly got any debt if I do have debt on it. And it's just easy. But when you first start out, it's about understanding that the market has to deliver, and the market is contrary, and the market will deliver when it's ready to deliver. You can have all the best predictions, which, you know, we still tap into good quality research, but sometimes it just does what it wants to do. And eventually it will do its thing, but you have to hold, you have to be patient. And for our clients, we talk about an acquisitions phase where they're busy buying. We talk a consolidation phase where they may just have to sit and wait for their properties to do something, focus on getting the rents up, debt down. And that is when most people get frustrated with property. And we have to say to people, you know what, go get a hobby. Go do something else. Pretend, just ignore those properties, because they may sit and do their normal thing for the next 3 to 5 years. And you just have to be patient. And I find people find that really hard.
And funny you said that, and exactly I'm in the same situation with my properties in New Zealand when they're not cash flow positive because of the market rates. And the things are in New Zealand right now, very similar to what we have in Australia. So I'm just sitting on it, trying not to think much of it and waiting for the right time for them to either give me more equity or whatever I can do in the future with them.
Yeah, better cash flow. Yep.
Yeah, cash flow, yeah.
Yeah, it is definitely a long-term thing. And you're looking to do more investing here in Australia, I imagine?
Onto it. Onto my first property. So... it's taken a little longer because the way we're living in the city, just to be an encashment area for my schools for my kids. So I'm not looking to invest buy in this area. Doesn't seem to be the right thing to do. So I'm looking for an investment till the time I'm ready to buy my own owner-occupied or in Australia. So it doesn't mean that if you can buy, you know, you can always rent to invest sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Well, congratulations. And so we'll wrap up today, Dhiraj, by me asking you that favorite of mine, that favorite podcast cliche question. If you could go back in time and meet young Dhiraj, Dhiraj, before he hopped on the cruise ship, what advice would you have for Dhiraj today?
Oh, you put me on the spot there, Sam.
I put everyone on the spot. Don't worry, you're safe.
I think it's not hugely different what I've done. I have no regrets. I have learned my lesson, have some mistakes. What I would say
Don't sell.
Don't sell. Yeah, that's the thing. Definitely, thanks for pointing. You know, if you have a property, don't sell. You know, it's very easy to sell. And I didn't want to talk about it again and again. You're just rubbing in the wounds of my tap. But having said that, I think give back more to the community, give back more to the people, to the life, you know, into the universe. That's what I feel. I have been doing my share of things, but I think if you can do that more as human beings, I think it will be a better place to live. And when you come to investing, do your research, you know, have somebody on your back as an expert like me who can help you and support you with the journey so that you don't do the mistake I have done. To learn from my mistakes.
Awesome. Well, I love that bit about giving more to your community. When I first started working with Positive Real Estate, I remember my daughter said to me, she used to do a lot of stuff with Amnesty International and things like that. And she said to me, "Mom, you can't just teach people how to buy Ferraris." And I said, "Is that what you really think I do?" And she was like, "Well, you're just teaching people to be rich." And I said to my daughter, Amber, I said, "Actually, no, I'm not. I'm teaching people how to give themselves financial security because from there, people make great quality choices and they give back to community. They teach their family and children how to create financial security. And it spreads from there. And so it's something I'm really passionate about too. Contribution is the key to feeling fulfilled because I believe happiness is fleeting. You know, you're happy one moment and then something happens and you're grumpy. Whereas feeling fulfilled about what you've done and your place on planet Earth is you get that by giving back. And I'm a massive, massive fan of that.
It can be part of a legacy. You never know.
Legacy, 100%. Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Dhiraj, for your time today. And we will see you on the coaching circuit. You will be out there with some of our fabulous clients, helping everybody create some financial security for themselves. Thanks again.
Yeah, looking forward to it, really.
Awesome. Bye for now.
Hey, thanks for listening to Property Investor Tales. Remember to subscribe so you get notified every time a new episode drops. As you can guess, I love hearing people's property investor tales. So if you'd like to share yours, then please get in touch with me via email at propertyinvestortales@positivementor.com.au. We would also love your feedback and I would appreciate a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Remember, you can watch all of these podcasts over on YouTube at Positive Mentor or at positivementor.com.au. Until then, take care, happy investing, and bye for now.